Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
The fact that you are here with me on the edge, brains, look who I have here. Okay, this is Maria McGrath. She's from Australia. I'm telling you, it's happening down there in Australia. I just renewed my passport. I'm coming, ladies. I'm coming. Okay. And she's going to talk to us about a lot of stuff. But you know, brains, usually I have a lot of notes on my guests. This one I don't. So this is going to be. This is going to be a true discovery conversation, and I love it. I went back and I saw some of her videos, and she had the most gracious meltdown. But they were happy tears, and I don't know what those were. So she's going to share that with us, and she's also going to share with us another healing modality called Creatrix. Now, I am getting all of these amazing women coming on the show as guests. But I want to know how it touches each one of them and what is their secret sauce for success when working with clients. Because we can all eat this from a smorgasbord, but we all have something different on our plate. So it's the delivery, it's the connectivity, it's the why behind, it's the reason and the nuggets that she's going to drop into us so that we can move forward. So I'm so happy to have you here. And you are always so colorful. I love you, as you can see. So welcome to On the Edge, Maria. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and to be chatting with you today.
Now, this is not something that I've heard here in the United States. And I'm sure, because I know that you guys have a global reach and you're working with a lot of coaches. But I really want to open this up to you brains here in the U.S. so that we can get it together, because you know we're still thawing out from COVID. So tell us a little bit about and educate me on your story and how you found Creatrix.
Okay, so I guess going back and looking back, you know, I was struggling for a long time, decades really, with this really, really deep sadness and loneliness, feeling like I didn't fit in, feeling like I wasn't good enough. And for a long time, I didn't realize that it could have been depression, that's what, you know, going back 20 years, it really wasn't talked about. It wasn't something that I'd heard about. Looking back with 2020, that's probably where I was, struggling with depression from probably the age of 14, 15, 16. And then it come and went throughout. You know, the decades that went from there. But coming into my 30s, I was still single. I didn't have children, which was the biggest thing that I wanted in my entire life. I didn't really care about a career. I worked, but my goal was to get married and have children. And when that wasn't happening, I was really, really sad. And I got sadder and sadder and sadder. I was pushing people away because I didn't feel like I was good enough. I wasn't worthy. There was something wrong with me. I must be broken in some way. All this noise that was in my head, and I couldn't understand it. I didn't know where it had come from. I didn't know why it was there. I didn't know why I couldn't get past it, couldn't move on from it. But I did come to the realization that I had to heal myself. If I was going to feel better, I had to get out there and try different things, and I had to work on. So I did a lot of things, and I went to gurus, and I read books, and went to therapies, and all sorts of different things. But nothing really shifted. Nothing really made me feel better, you know. And so I kept on trying. I kept on, you know. I got to a point where I really didn't want to be here anymore. I was really struggling. And that, I think, was the video that you might have seen when I was crying.
Your nephew had to use the bathroom.
Yeah. He should have been out of it, so that was a good thing. But it was 9 years ago, last week, it was 9 years ago that I actually found this process called Creatrix, this method. And the thing that really clench me that it was for the female mind. It was going to heal our female stuff, you know, because we're so very, very different to the males. We have so much more emotion. We have so much more hormones. We, you know, and they're so closely connected. You know, when our hormones are fluctuating, we feel the emotion so much more. And we hold them so much deeper. We're connected to our mother and our grandmother and our great-great-grandmothers through that bloodline a lot deeper. So it was this female mind method that, okay, all right, I'll try that because nothing else has sort of worked. So it was 9 years ago that I went and I had a three-day retreat and tried Creatrix for the very first time. And it was like a light flick, a switch was just flicked back on. You know, this method was so deep that it cleared that deep sadness that I had that was stopping me from living. I was just existing. I was breathing. I was crying most of the time, you know, curled up in a ball, and had pushed most people away. They didn't want to come near me because I was so toxic. My energy was toxic. You know, I was so sad. And because of that, I think there was envy and jealousy and resentment for everybody else who had this wonderful life that I didn't, you know. Yeah, emotions, they just seem to layer and layer and layer and layer, you know. Everything comes up. So when I found Creatrix, and it's this deep healing where you go inside. It's not somebody else telling you what they think you need to know. It's tapping into, through story, your own inner wisdom. You know what you need to know to change that perception, to change the belief, to change the values, to change everything within. And that's what it was that just, when I went away from that 3 days, it was just like, wow. You know, I got back to my head being up instead of looking down. And, you know, when I walked down the street, I was looking at my feet. I couldn't look at people in the eye. I couldn't even talk to my sister on the phone before that. I was just so closed down.
So now let me dig into it, you know, without going too much into the intellectual property and the thing. But what is the secret sauce? I mean, because there's a lot of talk therapy, there's a lot of hypnotherapy, there's EFT tapping, there's NLP, EIGIO. What is the secret sauce here? Is this a combination of this? Is this, you know, are you doing some, you know, some psychedelic mushrooms to get you in the... And I say that with respect because, you know, they're doing that here in the United States. They didn't legalize the weed. Now they're trying to legalize the mushrooms because that psychedelic trip takes you to an altered state of consciousness and it takes you deep and it helps you break that generational trauma. So I say that with the utmost respect. I'm not trying to say that, yeah, you guys are hippies. And if you are, I dig a hippie too. But, you know, what is it that turns that light switch on? I've done some things. I've done a face-to-face meditation with another person sitting in front of me. Yeah. And the facilitator had me go inside of who she was and her on the side of who I am. That exercise was so powerful because you really put yourself in another person's shoes. So what kind of things are you doing at this retreat that's turning the light switch on?
Okay, so Creatrix, and I work with my clients over Zoom. So it's basically, without going into the IP, it's really helping a woman through story, okay? We get them, similar to what you just said, they create a story in their mind. Our subconscious has images for everything, and it knows, and the soul knows what you need to know to heal. Like, I could tell you, you're the most amazing person in the world. You're so beautiful. You're, you know, if we have those doubts and those that lack of worth, somebody else saying it's like we have this block up and we don't take it in. We don't believe it at our core when somebody else says it. So this story that they go on, there are it's like you playing a part in a movie and you get to watch the movie where you're learning from somebody else, but your own mind is creating it. So it's the learnings go into you. It's like having a wake-up call without having the trauma to do it. You're getting a different perspective a different view. You're learning and watching these characters, and oh my God, you get to know I am good enough, but when it comes from within here, it sticks.
It's sincere.
If it comes from outside here, it doesn't stick. But when it comes from in here and you've got that perspective change, that shift, when you've, yeah, it's like you know your own name.
Okay.
Now, so I know that I can cope with this, or I know.
Okay. So, and I say this because, again, my brains want to know, you know. Yeah. So you're on a 3-day hype fest. This is a great experience. How does that carry you through the next 10, 15 years?
Well, when I did that retreat, and I do creatrix sessions, every time something new comes up for me, I reach out to one of my sister facilitators, transformologists, and we release new stuff that comes up. In that 3 days, in that original breakthrough, I got all the learnings I needed to around sadness, around the loneliness, around grief, and around anger. I didn't do everything, every emotion that I had, but when I went and started my training, I did a lot more. But in that moment, that was what I needed to switch the light back on, because it was those biggest, heaviest emotions that were stopping me from just living. So when I cleared those out, I could remember me. I was back to me without the sadness, without generations of sadness, because it really does go in at that epigenetic, that inherited bloodline level. Absolutely. And release it. Absolutely. At that level. So after that, I worked on the I'm not good enough, and I'm not smart enough, and I'm not worthy, and fear of failure, and fear of being seen. You know, there was a time I couldn't do video. I wanted to get the message out there that there was this thing that was so amazing, but I couldn't press the button to do a video, so I had to get some learnings around that. So it works on whatever the issue is for you. And when clients come to me, we really do a deep dive as to what is their issue right now. It doesn't matter what I think might be going on with them. It's them and it's their words. So,
but it's so hard, you know, Maria, it's so hard for people to express and identify what's going on with them when they're in this deep hole of depression.
Absolutely. You
know, nothing matters. Mm-hmm. They don't want to eat. They can't sleep, or they have anxiety, or they're self-medicating, or they're, you know, the noise from the outside influences. So a lot of times they can't really even identify with who they are. So I suggest with people that I hear, you know, again, I've never done creatrix, but I'm learning. But, you know, people to start journaling, start writing down your emotions right now. You know, you don't have to be in the program, and then look at it and then read it and do a brain dump. Just everything that's in your mind, just pour it out, Do that. And you would be amazed. Start learning to do art. It's just like children. Children tell their stories of pain, suffering, anxiety, stress through art. Adult coloring books, through music.
They're fantastic,
There's a lot of ways to figure out what's wrong, because you just say, well, I'm just sad. Well, I'm just happy.
Yeah.
But to get to that root cause, you know, was it your mother's drama? You know, whatever it is. So start writing a writing process or some sort of creative process to be able to open up this can of worms. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things we get, you know, the clients to do when they're, is to identify that. And the more that they do that, the more they become aware of what they're thinking or what they're feeling, what they're believing in moments when they may be triggered. It's, and you know what, we go through life in such a state of unawareness that sometimes they don't even stop and realize that they're being triggered by these specific things. So that's one of the things we get them to do, to start getting an awareness of what they're feeling, what they're going through, what are their triggers. And even me listening to them talking about what they're feeling, I can pick up things that they're not aware of as well. Mm-hmm. And we like create a list. So we have majority of women have around 30 or 40 things, lists, emotions, beliefs that they have on their list. Some have 100, depending on what they've been through in their life. And it's working on getting the biggest, the ones that feel the biggest. And the body has a reaction. So you can, you know, rate what they are. You can, you know, I feel like 10 out of 10 because, you know, I feel like I can't breathe and my heart's racing. You know, there's a physical connection to that emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And so we start with the biggest ones because it really is an unlayering process.
Absolutely.
It's not about getting rid of one or two, because you release those two, then other ones come up. So with the creatrix, it's an experience. It's a transformation experience where they have a number of sessions to really work on all of those layers until they find themselves without so much stuff that they're feeling, they can feel it in their body, that there's been this release, that there's been a shift, and they feel.
So let me ask you this question. When you greeted your new self, when your new self surfaced, how did you identify with that? Because I'll tell you, I was on a weight loss journey, which I need to probably take that trip again. But I was on a weight loss journey, and I lost a lot of weight. And, you know, I pride myself on my self-esteem. I don't have those feelings, really, because I work on me, and I love it.
Yeah.
I looked at myself in the mirror, I was a different person. And that was another mind shift, because you're going from one extreme to the next. So, you know, bringing it all together, I think that's what the continuous work with Creatrix or any program that you're doing is, that continuous support, be it AA or, you know, talk therapy, whatever that is, because you are greeting a whole new person. That subconscious mind, you know, again, we only use about 20% of it. So there's 80% of it that's still dancing around in la-la land that we haven't even been introduced to. And once you're introduced to that, there's a settling and an adjustment. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I can remember looking in the mirror and saying to myself, I don't know who you are. I have no idea who this person is, when I was at my worst. And when I had released all these layers, it was, I'm who I was always meant to be. There was this feeling of peace. And peace takes a bit to get used to too, because
yes,
instead of all that noise running around in your head, it feels empty. And you can think, oh, I'm not sure if I like empty. But then you say, oh, you know what, this is what peace feels. So there is an adjustment. There is getting used to this new way to be. And then if other things come up, then you have the tools and the processes to work on that. But I still have coaching, and I keep in touch with my sister transformologist. I work on new stuff because life happens.
Right. It's now, weird. The third thing.
Okay.
The outside influences. Because now you are reintroducing yourself as the new Maria McGrath. Okay? Here I am, Diva. Are y'all ready?
Mm-hmm.
And people are shocked because they're used to the more subdued or the angry or the sad or the person that won't make eye contact. Mm-hmm. And then here you come with these bright colors and glowing skin and pretty purple glasses. And you say, you know, world, are you ready for me? You know, in that shift, you lose a lot of people. You lose a lot, and maybe not everybody, but I do, because I edit and filter all the time. You know, if it ain't working for me, you got to roll. You got to go.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bother you, but you doggone sure ain't going to bother me.
Yeah.
So when you reintroduce yourself to these other people, they still got this negative chatter. Oh, well, my God. We'll use a person that's lost 100 pounds. You know, you see them, and then, oh, well, she's this and she's that, and now she's then and this, that. Because your self-worth has escalated.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing life from this helicopter view instead of seeing it from underground.
Yes.
And you have these other people. So how do you, you know, because you're working on yourself, but you got to work on your mama and your boyfriend and your kids. They've got to accept the new person who you are. Do you help people kind of navigate through that too? Because that's a challenge. That can set you back.
Well, I do, but I, I pick and choose, I guess. I pick and choose. You know, if there are people that are just negative, then I don't take part in that. I did find it really hard because the conversations weren't on the same level anymore. I was living in a different space. I did connect. I did have people come back into my life because the anger and the sadness had pushed everybody away. So there were some that come back, and those that stayed were the ones who were interested in where I was, how I was doing, and coming on the journey with me. You know, so I have a number of friends, and they wanted to know, and they, you know, oh, Maria, this happened to me. What would you do? Or how can you help me help somebody else? You know, I have a friend who said, you know, I've got this friend at work and she's struggling. What would you tell me to tell her? So the people that stayed around in my life were those that wanted to come on the journey with me. If they didn't stay, I was in a place where my love and my self-worth and my confidence allowed me to be. And if anyone didn't like it, then I didn't care if they went their own separate way.
Yeah, because they weren't in your best interest. Yes. What did you find about your feminine energy, your sexuality? And I say that because, you know, everybody's into it now. They're doing these vaginal steamings and all that. We are connecting with our womb.
Absolutely.
We are connecting with Mother Earth. This is the age of Aquarius. It is a much gentler time. It is the female energy is risen. But did you find that you had more swagger? Were you sexier? Did you love yourself more? Did you find an internal intimacy through all of this as well?
Absolutely. I think I had no self-love before. I had no kind of faith in, or I was just living in self-doubt in every area, and in relationships, and in, you know, sexual relationships. It was all, I didn't trust myself, and I didn't think I was good enough, and I was afraid of disappointing. And, you know, when you clear all that crap, you just are, and you just be, and you're in the moment, and you allow yourself, your physical body and your emotional state, to just flow and be. So it changes everything. And there have been a lot of women who say, oh my God, the sex life is so much better because
it's an awakening.
I'm not good enough. Or what if I'm not, you know, what if I'm not good enough? What if he's not enjoying it? What if?
Right.
When that's gone, you're just in your body. So it's a completely different way to be.
Well, that's beautiful. So now let's play a round of quick questions, because I love to do this. I'm going to throw out some words. You tell me the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
Food.
Yum.
Power.
Passion.
Duty.
No.
Responsibility.
Me.
Joy.
Happiness.
Sacrifice.
No, I don't do that either.
Okay. So you don't sacrifice?
No.
Okay. Dance.
Movement. Empowered.
Pain.
A struggle, I suppose. Pain is struggle, and yeah, so you want to get rid of that.
What would you tell a 65-year-old Maria McGrath?
She would tell, I'm telling the 65-year-old.
Yeah, you were, no, you at this age,
would
you tell yourself at 65 years old? See, normally people go back, what would you tell a 25-year-old? But what are you going to tell the person that you are evolving to be? What would you say to a 65-year-old?
I would tell her to keep loving, keep living, keep enjoying her life. She's got another 20 years to go, at least.
And what are three things that you can't you can absolutely cannot live without?
Family, chocolate. connection with the like-minded people. That's what feeds my soul, that connection.
And what would you say to the woman that's out there that's struggling right now but doesn't know which way to turn? I mean, you know, again, there's so many options out there.
There are, yeah.
And so what I want you to do is I want you to convince her, you know, in a loving, you know, and this is not a sales pitch, brains.
Yeah.
Because this is deeper than sales. You can't buy this, okay?
You can't buy that deep knowing within that you are just the way that you're meant to be, that you are worthy and you are loved by you first. So I would say stop. If you're wearing that mask, if you're putting on that armor, when you're pretending every day to be or feel something that you're not, that this tapping into yourself, knowing yourself fully, getting back to knowing your femaleness. You know, we live in such a world where everything's male-brained, really. Everything, education and personal development and a lot of the therapies, they're working on the male brain, so they really don't tap into our feminine. And that's where we need to get back to. That is where we're going to find our power. And by power, I mean our knowing that we're worthy and we're good enough and we're loved and we are capable of whatever it is we set our mind to. And that's what I love giving women. Yeah.
And I think that's powerful.
Yeah.
So you have some current programs and offerings. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing right now.
Yeah, look, I just created a new name for a Courageously Confident Woman. It's an 8-week program. We're working with the Creatrix, the Revolutionary Creatrix Method, which is helping women to first recognize, come into awareness of what all those emotions are, what are the deeply rooted things that are holding them stuck, holding them in pain or struggle. So that's the stage one. And then it's releasing them. Once we work out what they are, it's releasing them through Creatrix. So it's 8 weeks to creating the best version of you, a courageously confident woman.
Well, I mean, that is some heavy lifting. It is. And it's very valuable. It's very sincere. Everybody wants to be authentic. Well, brains, everybody can't show up authentic because sometimes that's an ugly look, okay? And you have to keep it real. You have to look at yourself. It's like a shirt. You got to turn it inside out. Mm. And you got to pick off the lint balls and you got to, you know, iron it to get the wrinkles out. You have to do the work.
Yeah, there are great people.
Right. There are great people like Maria that are out there that have walked the walk and talked the talk and are willing to help you pull back the layers and share with you their own experience of those dark days and what that felt like. There is someone that you can connect with. And I really am hoping that there are programs like this for men as well, because I'm going to tell you, men they got it rough right now. They're being emasculated. And when they do that, then it causes a problem because women are so strong, but we need to coexist. And I'm hoping that there is going to be programs that are going to work with men because they don't express themselves. See, women are quick to cry on camera and look cute, tell their story, pull, you know, get on podcasts like this and go deep, talk about their feminine energy. But men are taught to suppress that, keep the lid on it. You got to be masculine. You got to be hard. You can't cry. And what that does is it creates a disharmony.
Yeah.
And then it's combustion. And I've been married 37 years, and I need to lean on my man. Mm. But I need him to understand where I am. You know, that's so important. And these relationships are so intense now. Especially after COVID, you know, people have been confined with one another. They've really seen and they really know who this person is. Again, the self-medication with drugs and alcohol. It's a lot going on. A lot of people with mental health challenges were suppressed. They weren't able to get to their support groups. So I am so glad that you are doing the work that you are doing and your team, because these women just seem like they are just lotus flowers and they're blooming and blossoming and they're going all around the world. Don't you have a motto?
Setting 10 million hearts free.
See, I told you I was paying attention. 10 million brains. I see there's 2.4 billion on the planet. All they're asking for is 10 million.
Yeah.
Each one can teach one. Mm, yes. All over the world.
Well, a woman, when she sets herself free, when she releases that, her energy and her knowledge and her new being, it ripples out, you know, to the women who are her friends, her family, her children, male and female. And when we understand ourselves better and we're truly uniquely ourselves without all the crap, without all the pain, we're encouraging and we're opening to men and have better relationships when we don't have all that fear or betrayal or sadness and all of that stuff. So when we set 10 million hearts free, hopefully that'll ripple out to a lot more as well.
Or they have the obligation to feel that they need to be a certain kind of way. You need to be submissive. You need to go along to get along. Some women never identify their entire lives. Yeah. They never identify and grab hold to who they are. And that's sad. And it doesn't have to be that way.
No, it doesn't. It's a much easier, better way to be. I can remember being that woman who was so angry and hurt and resentful and sad. It was horrible.
It is.
I didn't want to be that way. That's why I kept searching until I found something. I've done the hard work, ladies. I found the solution. You don't have to do 1,000 different things.
Exactly. Now, a program like this, is this very expensive? Is this very costly? Because again, you know, we want to make it accessible to people, but also too, we're talking, you know, top shelf.
It is. And women have to want to heal themselves. So they have to want to invest in themselves. So, you know, I guess it depends on what personal development you've done before, whether you find that it's cheap or expensive. You know, some people say that they would sell their house if they had known the results that they would get with this. So, you know, in that respect, it seemed cheap to that person who would have given the whole world to heal the stuff within. But it is very uniquely individual for each woman. It's what's going on with her, where she's at, you know, how much stuff she's got, what is her financial state. All of those, it's not just a one-size-fits-all with the program or the money.
Okay, but you know, money is energy, and so it needs to be moved, and so people need to invest in themselves. You're absolutely right. Do you have, you know, I don't know, I'm just putting it out there. Do you have a philanthropic arm in Creatrix? Do you give away scholarships or have programs or, you know, events?
Yeah, absolutely. We do, and each woman, who's a transformologist, usually chooses, even though we have a scholarship, we can, you know, create that price for that individual woman. We also give back a percentage of the price that a woman pays us to a female charity, you know, whether it's a charity that works with sexual abuse or whether it's homeless women or whether it's battered women or something like that. We donate something back to, you know, we have, I don't know, 250, 300 transformologists, and each one of us does that with each client that we have. We give back to the community.
That's very near and dear to my heart, is that we are reciprocal. It's not just about give. It's, you know, it's about give and take. And so that's very important. And those are the kind of organizations and those are the kind of groups and leaders that I want to support on my platform, because they've been there. They've done that. And they want to open the door and create a pathway for someone else that is struggling. Because each one teaches one.
Yes.
So before we conclude, give me one success story, one that just resonates in your heart with one of the clients that you've had.
Oh, there's been so many. I had one just recently who we did, I'm not worthy of receiving. Now, it was just recently. I'm not worthy of receiving love. I'm not worthy of receiving money. I'm not worthy of receiving anything. Okay. It was holding her back in her personal life, in her business life. It's, you know, I could go on with a lot of other deeper ones, but this one just resonated because she was an energy healer herself and she'd been working through this for trying to get rid of this I'm not worthy for so long. And it's something a lot of women have. And, you know, we close our eyes and go through the story and she gets her wisdom, her own learnings are coming through. And you open your eyes and there's this smile and sometimes there's a tears of joy, but it's a goosebump moment for me when I see a woman who's just literally, her face is transformed in that 30 minutes of doing that one belief or one emotion that goes. And it's now I, you know, we do a scenario. What do you think? How would you act with that in the future if that triggered moment happened? And she was, oh, no, someone would say, you know, I love you. And she'd go, no, don't believe you. No, go away. I can't have that. You're going to hurt me in some way. And then after we say, you know, what are you going to do? Someone says, I love you. Yes, and so you should. I am just so awesome kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
It's just this complete, utter change in such a short space. And her face was just sheer joy. So that was just last week. That's why I guess it's close to my memory. But having a woman know I am worthy of receiving love is amazing.
That's right. And that it makes you feel good too, because you've helped her walk that walk. You've held her hand and you're still going to hold her hand. You've built a relationship.
Yes.
That's what people want, emotional intelligence and relationship capital. I tell them over and over and over again. And that's what you get here on The Edge. This is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. And Maria, you have been such a gift. And I'm so glad that you are there. Brains, I need you to reach out. She's got an 8-week program. I'm going to put all the information down at the bottom. In addition to that, I am going to put her interview there. We're going to run it on all the major hotspots. You know where to find me. LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, connect. These women in South Australia are moving and shaking, and they are coming from the root chakra, and they're coming up like, you know, like a hurricane or a tornado. They are really, really spiraling out of control in a good way. And I thank you so much. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you. I want them to talk to you. And again, you know, a consultation. It costs you
absolutely
information.
Yes. Yeah. And I've got a link that I've given you for my calendar if they want to have a free chat with me. Otherwise, Restore Balance and Harmony at gmail.com is my email. It is also my Facebook name, Restore Balance and Harmony, or my female closed group is the Feminine Evolution Academy.
And she does some amazing quick and slick, you know, Facebook lives. I share them with you. Pay attention to them. You know, people aren't just doing this because it's a job. Everybody's got a job. Everybody's got to earn money. But if you do what you truly love and you're making a difference, you'll feel like you never worked a day in your life.
That's right. Yeah.
All right?
Absolutely.
All right. Deuces, brains. Peace out. Be good to yourself. You
Bye.
Know what you can count on. Bye-bye.